Good morning. We have been talking about generational church, what it looks like, where we're going as a church, what God is doing with us. And some of this stuff isn't really heavy-revy or anything like that. What it is basically to give you a better understanding as to the purpose of the church, so that when we talk about the church, we have a better understanding as to what God is talking about. Today I like to for us to turn to Joshua, the 14th chapter, starting in verse 6. And we'll read through verse 15. And the title of this message is, Where Are the Spiritual Calebs? Okay, where are the spiritual Calebs? And that really has to deal with all of us, because being a Caleb for all of us is going to require us to be men and women of faith, and to really see God with the eyes of faith. Amen. Are we there at Joshua 14, verses 6 through 15? Now the men of Judah approached Joshua Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kizanite, said to him, You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, The land on which your feet has walked will be your inheritance, and that your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved from about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. And Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man of the Canaanite or Anakites. Then the land was at rest from the war. Give a little background for those who are not real familiar with Caleb. You should be. But if you're not, that's okay. Caleb was one of the 12 who went out to spy out the land, and only he and Joshua came back with Only he and Joshua came back with a good report. But the people believed the other 10 that had an evil report. Joshua was 40 years of age and had drifted around with Israel without complaint, without murmuring, in the desert wanderings until that generation died off. In Numbers 14:24, it says that Caleb was of a different spirit and followed after God with a whole heart. Caleb was of a different spirit and followed after God with a whole heart. The Church of Jesus Christ is of a different spirit. It is a different spirit from the world. But it does not follow the Lord wholeheartedly. There are pockets that do this, and they do great and wondrous things, and God blesses them tremendously. And at the ripe age of 85, while the land was being divvied up, Israel was in the land to conquer it. At 85 years of age, Caleb wanted his inheritance, and he wanted to take the hill country. Can you imagine at 85 years of age, you're still fighting the good fight of faith? And you still have that vigor, and you still have that yearning. Why was it such a big thing? Remember last week we talked about destiny and legacy? And one of the reasons why Caleb was so on fire was he had not fulfilled his destiny yet in God. Spiritual Calebs are a rare breed. They are a breed that are totally sold out for the kingdom. They are totally sold out for God, and they will never stop fighting until they fulfill their destiny or help the next generation be propelled into moving in that direction to fulfill the destiny. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God for any of us. Until we die, we are to keep fighting the good fight of faith. We are to continue to grow. We are continuously exhorted to do great works which we have been predestined to do in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians. But where are the spiritual Calebs of this day? Where are the Calebs who want to serve the younger generation while fulfilling their destiny? And like I said, they're a rare breed. Because not only do the spiritual Calebs want to keep fighting the good fight of faith, they want to fight alongside the next generation. You see, it's not something that we fight and then we give up and say, okay, boys, your turn. That's not how it works in the kingdom. We continue to fight the good fight of faith alongside of the younger generation. Why? Because spiritual Calebs are the ones that as they're fighting, they're imparting their lives into the next generation. Their wisdom, their experiences that they have had in God are now being used as part of that legacy to exhort and encourage and really just build up the next generation, saying that you can do this. God is with us. We can go up and do this thing. But there aren't many spiritual Calebs in the church today. And I'll relate a story that I heard. It was about this pastor who was in a meeting with his leadership. And there was a complaint. The church was growing. A lot of young people were coming in. And the older folks were having a problem with these younger folks. They didn't like all the activity. They didn't like all the energy that was coming. They didn't like the change of music and how upbeat and forceful it was. They didn't like the unashamed boldness of these young believers. And so what was in this meeting was these leaders, these older leaders, more mature saints, were murmuring, complaining about what God was doing. And God was answering their prayer to create another generation who would take the torch. But yet, they didn't want to pass the torch on. They didn't want to pour their lives into the next generation. And the pastor tried to get the older saints to understand what God was doing, of which several of the leaders said, well, I guess it's time for them to move on, and I'll just take a back seat in the church. How sad. How sad it is to have the wealth of that experience take on a pity party because they can't see what God's doing with the next generation and be excited to have a part in that. How many churches are out there today that are segmented, segregated, and labeled in such a way that there is no fluidity or union in understanding the purpose of the local church? And as we've covered this, the purpose of the local church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and to fulfill the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, wholeheartedly. Imagine the exploits of Caleb as he's gone and he's doing battle with the Anakites. And these guys were tall. They were 6 feet, 7 feet tall. They were giants. And he went in and did battle. And he took the land. He inherited that land. But imagine how he settled the hearts of the younger generation who were afraid. How they looked to him at the campfire when he was telling them, you know, guys, we're going to do this tomorrow and we're going to kick their butts, you know, and God is going to give us this land. This is ours. He promised this to us. How he would tell them the great exploits of what he saw when they traveled in Kadesh Barnea for 40 years until a generation that did not believe God died off. How he encouraged them and said that God is not on a plan B. He's always been on a plan A. His plan has always been the same. What has happened is some people don't want to participate in God's plan. And the spiritual Calebs are those who are older who are willing to pour into the next generation. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. You know, I've been really busy and I poured my life into this church and I just don't have anything more to give. Then why didn't you die? Because obviously God's not done with you. And each and every one of us has something more to give. Didn't Jesus tell us to count the cost? Didn't I tell you the truth that to follow after Christ, it's going to cost you everything you are and everything that you have? Because in return, we get everything that He has, including Him. And what happens is churches don't understand this. They have forgotten their purpose. They have forgotten their legacy. And so when you forget your legacy, you don't understand what your purpose is any longer. And you lose your vision and you lose your hope and you begin to exist. And that's not what God wants. How many of us who have been part of other churches have been in churches that didn't really seem to have any purpose except let's meet in this group or let's put that group over here or let's do this here? We segmentize and we don't unify. I know I've been part of that and I abhorred it because all through Scripture, all that I see is Israel moved as one man, one army, one family, a oneness. And they trusted in the leadership of the man of God. And Caleb wasn't looking for retirement. He was looking for his destiny. He was looking for that city that was not made of human hands. And he was not satisfied until he inherited that which God had promised him. What has God promised you that you have that fire in you to fight for? Remember we talked about one of the things that Jesus did was bind up the strong man? But it's our responsibility to go in and take it. Right? You heard Pastor Barry say that, you know, do you have faith? And then he quickly said, you don't have faith because you're not exercising it. What good's your faith if you don't do anything with it? Give you an example. A couple of years ago, we had that building offered to us across the street, and we thought it was a great deal, so we laid claim to it and did all that stuff, but God wanted us to walk through something so that we would glean some wisdom and some understanding. And we didn't realize what was going on until after the fact. We then began to see the great wisdom that God was imparting to us. And it cost us a few dollars to glean that wisdom. But now we're applying it to this situation that God has. And we are well prepared. We know what God wants for us. Can you imagine following after somebody who doesn't remind us of what God has done and what He wants to do, constantly showing us the prize? Can you imagine just being in a church that has no purpose, just that we're sitting here, we're going to sing Kumbaya, and everything's going to be great? The problem with that is I'm not that person. I'm one of the spiritual Calebs. I'm not going to be satisfied until I inherit what God has promised me. And, see, there's an and. The next generation. I can work alongside the next generation so that they can continue to expand the kingdom of God. I am not afraid or intimidated. I embrace what God's doing, and want to see the next generation. And that's the problem with churches today. They're not embracing the next generation. They're telling them to sit still, be quiet, and in due season you'll have your turn. Well, I'm telling you that the Church of Jesus Christ today needs that next generation to move on, as much as they need the wisdom that God has imparted into the spiritual Calebs. And you also are spiritual Calebs, because you have something to give to the younger generation after you. Caleb wasn't interested in growing old and retiring. Now, he was more interested in obtaining the new wine and putting it into new wineskins than drinking the old wine of religion. That's what he was about. Think about it. How often, and you guys that I've personally discipled, and how I've poured my life into you, told you the things that I've done and the things I'm not real proud of. But I also tell you what God has done in spite of that. I'm pouring my life into you guys because I believe in you. And you guys sit there and you just like sponges, just absorbing everything that comes in. But the time now is to exercise that which God has given to you. The time now is to go and fight for that which God has called for us. And we're to interact through the multi-generations that are within the church. That's why I get a kick out of Dylan coming up and giving me a hug in the mornings. He's a younger generation. He's coming to a spiritual grandpa, spiritual Caleb, so to speak. And we sit there and we just chew the fat a little bit, worship together, have fun. I mean, it's awesome. I get a kick out of it. Makes me feel younger. I'm ready to take on the Lions, you know, or the Bears, or the Cowboys. Oh, my. But think about it. How Caleb walked through the camps, and he saw the kids, and he didn't shush them away. He embraced them. He saw the inheritance that was coming in there, much the same as the Lord Jesus did. How he talked to the women and just built them up and said, everything's going to be cool. Everything's going to be fine. God's with us. How he took the younger guys who were being trained up. And he says, no, that's not the way you use that weapon. This is how you use it. If you use it this way, you're going to get hurt. How much wealth of love and wisdom and encouragement is put in to these men and women? And how much more do we need to expand ourselves in such a way that what we have is more servants than those who want to be served? We should be fighting to get into the junior church. Really. We should. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm not anointed. It has nothing to do with anointing. Has every bit to do, are you willing to pour your life into another generation? I want to know how many of you have even thought about it. Well, Pastor, I don't want to miss the message. Well, you know what? You just need to understand that we have it on the computer. You just go on the internet. You can handle all this stuff. You know, you're not going to miss anything. How many times in the past when we started the ministry, we would tape it for you. Then we burn CDs for you. And now, just go on the computer. I mean, it can't get much easier. And this is what the Calebs look for. To advance the kingdom. To make life so much easier for God's people. But yet, understand, there's a lot more to fight for. A lot more fighting that has to be done. A lot more ground has to be taken. A lot more people need to get saved. How we're to serve our youth, how to serve our families, how to serve men, how to serve our wives, how to serve the church. Did you understand? I'm busy. I got a busy schedule. Okay. I don't. I got a lot of free time on my hands. You see, it all has to do with prioritizing your time and setting aside your goals and accomplish them, not all at once, but in bite-sized pieces so that you can accomplish more as you move ahead. You see, those who have a retirement mindset, a retirement spirit, never accomplish anything for God. Why? Because when you have a retirement mindset, you begin to start thinking about yourself and what you want to do. You're not thinking about the will of God. You're not thinking about pouring your life into someone else. You're not thinking about serving those who have less than you. You're not thinking about anybody but yourself. And that's what the Church of Jesus Christ has become in America. Self-serving, self-sufficient, and in retirement. They say it's a me. It's my time. I've given all this time to God. I've done all this service. Well, you know what? I didn't see that there was an attachment when I gave my life to Jesus Christ that I would only serve him for a certain period of time, and then it would be just me again. If God so wills to give me some free time, okay, fine. If he so wills, it's his will be done, not my will. And for us to be successful, we need to jettison that mindset. We've got to become more mature in the way we approach the family of God. We have to begin to start looking at meeting needs and serving to build someone else up, to help them have more than what they thought they could have, that they too can press on to fulfill their destiny while looking back at the legacy that God has given to them. And some of the people that have built on this and have preached about getting back to biblical standards have constantly been used by God as spearheads for the next move of God. Guys like Martin Luther, John Huss, John Knox, John Calvin, John and Charles Wesley, Count von Zinzendorf, Charles Finney, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Parham, Evan Roberts, William Seymour, Smith Wigglesworth, John Lake, and humbly Gary Stiles. You see, I put my name in there because it's all or nothing for me. Well, Pastor, you'll have a great reward. That may be true, it may not be true. But my heart, and I want you to hear my heart is that all of us share in the reward, not just, well, I have a great reward and you have nothing, ha ha. I want us to be successful. I want us to be a multi-generational church that begins to take on the ideals of what a godly family of God looks like, a godly church looks like. Is there problems? Yeah. Is there sin? Yeah. Is there things that is the pleasing to God? Yeah, there's a lot of that. But you know what? God is full of grace and mercy. I want to pour my life into you guys and give you the wealth of experience, but it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you more than what you've been willing to pay for right now. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your hopes, your dreams, so that he can give you hopes and dreams that will satisfy you. He wants to give you a destiny while embracing the legacy that he wants to give to you. And those men that I've mentioned to you, you probably not even heard of a handful of them, let alone know what that handful has done so that we could be here today. But I could tell you. Why? Because I embrace the legacy that God has given to us. And the church in America is woefully ignorant of its legacy. Because it has believed what the world has been feeding it, and be truthful with you, has embraced it. And we need to throw that away. We need to throw away everything that the world has crept in, trying to segregate us. Because once they're successful in segregating us, either by the color of our skin, by the age of us, by our eco abilities to make money and stuff, and not see that we are common folk no matter what in Jesus Christ. That is our commonality. That's who we are. We're the family of God. And we press on together to fulfill the destiny that God has called for Streams. Let me read you Psalm 128, 1 through 6. It says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife or your husband will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you see and live to see your children's children. May the peace be upon Israel. That's legacy. That's what God wants to build in each one of us, and each one of our families, and in our church. He doesn't want to just do it for Pastor, and he doesn't just want to do it for Dan and Nikki. He wants to do it for everyone. But the responsibility is yours to follow after him with a whole heart and then fight for that which he has promised you. My job is to encourage you and to fight alongside of you to help you get that which God has promised you, and not to allow you to settle for anything less than God's fullness. And by the Lord's strength, we will kick the enemy out and have our inheritance, just like Caleb said. Amen? Father, use us, Lord. Raise up the spiritual Calebs, those who want to pour their lives into the next generation. Not only pour our lives into them, Lord, but Father, work alongside and fight alongside of them to help them achieve their destiny in you. God, this is just not a me and Jesus. This is an us and Jesus. Jesus has done all the hard work, Father. Now it's time for us to do the cleanup. By your grace and by your mercy, Lord, you will make us that successful church for this end time move that you are about to make. Father, you are about to supply us with a storehouse in order to bring the harvest in. You are about to explode upon this parcel of land, God, like never before. And you're going to use us for your glory. So God, prepare our hearts. Strengthen us, God, with courage. And help us to go and charge into the land and defeat the enemy who has stolen everything from you and from us, that we may establish your kingdom to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.